Hi, I'm Jason. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Jason.
Hi, everyone. I love AA in general, and specifically love young people's AA. And there's really no place. There's so many places, like in high school or social places when I was young, where it was like centered around drinking and getting messed up and at least definitely the places I was seeking out. And, AA is, young people AA specifically, is just a place where we come and, we can just get sober, and more than just that, just have, make good friendships, have fun, and just grow together, really grow together. And that's been my experience in young people's AA. I haven't been here in a few years, but I've spent maybe 10 years in, getting sober and growing in young people's, and so many lessons and so many good things that I've learned from it, and take that in my life and have that toolkit for my life at work or my home life. So I'm really grateful for that. So a little bit about my drinking story. I was kind of like a small, I wasn't really nerdy, but I just didn't have that many friends. And I was a little bit shy. I was like under, when I was in ninth grade, I was maybe like 90 pounds. And, once I got to ninth grade, that was like a line for me, is I remember just going out with a group of guys, one guy that I was friends with and a whole nother group of guys. They were kind of like the bad kids, the bad guys, and we got a case of beer, and I started to drink, and I just felt, it just had I felt powerful, I felt connected to all my friends, I was outgoing, I was, all these things that I didn't feel before, and I loved it, I 100%, like, I was in, and, those guys became my friends, and we drank every weekend and smoking pot, and then started experimenting with drugs, and it just became like a part of my life. And I used to play sports, and sports got less and less, and drinking, hanging out. I was in Long Island, so like our most fun thing we liked to do was to come into the city, come to Limelight in the 1995 with really baggy jeans, and first time walking into this place, it was like, I heard legends about it. Like, I was in 11th grade. I heard just like a legend of how crazy this place was. It was like, and they were offering, it was right when you walk in, it was like Special K. I can't remember the drugs that they were offering. Ecstasy, Special K, and Coke. And, I think those were the three. I don't remember. And so it was like, oh, just trying all different drugs and just getting so messed up. I was like in this K-hole. I don't know if you guys, and I was like in the clubs beating, and I was like curled up like in a ball on like a couch somewhere by myself. And, and it was great. I loved it. We'd go all the time. We'd go on Wednesday nights. We'd come into the city like once I got to senior year. And just do like a ridiculous amount of drugs and go to school. I would just go to school messed up from the day. Just get home at like 6 o'clock and then just get changed and go to school. And it was crazy. But I could do it. It was fun. And just drinking and just causing so much trouble around the neighborhood. And definitely drugs were working at that point. Like, I had a lot of friends. I was still able to do all right in school and show up, and I definitely got into trouble. I had some, mostly from stealing issues, but it was small troubles that were all drug-related, all drinking and drug-related. I love to drink, too. It's Alcoholics Anonymous, and I definitely, like, drinking was a big part of my love affair with, just escaping, and, I definitely, when I was learning how to drink, I blacked out a few times. One time I just drank too much. I was sitting down. I was with a couple of friends. And I just drank too much vodka. I blacked out. By the time I stood up, nothing. I don't remember anything. I drank too much. So I learned how to drink where I just barely, like, the place I wanted to be when I was drinking was just drunk enough that I was right before blacking out. Because blacking out wasn't really so good. You, who knows what's going to happen. And, you know, so that's where I like to be really messed up, but not quite blacked out. And I could usually get to that. And so, yeah, so I went to, for me, going to college, my freshman year in college was, it was, I was, the big surprise in that first year of my college was just, I had like a different experience where I just didn't connect so well with making new friends, and I just kind of like felt lonely, and I was having difficulty adjusting. And so I just, you know, found myself drinking a lot more, and it wasn't bringing me closer to people. It was like sort of keeping me separated. And it would make me more depressed and feeling bad. And that's when I first like started to feel like some downsides to drinking. It was like making me hate my, these feelings of self-hatred, feelings of what the hell is wrong with me were just on the tape was just playing constantly. Only way to shut that up was to just, at that point I was like smoking weed maybe like every day, maybe drinking a few times a week. But once I got to that freshman year in college, it became more of like a right when I wake up type of thing, just to numb. I just need to be numb right when I woke up, straight throughout the day, and it's usually like a combination of smoking and then drinking at nighttime and then drugs. I had a few friends. I was into these psychedelics and a lot of tripping, and have crazy like tripping stories that I was doing, but I didn't like my friends. I had this disagreement with my. The guy, my roommate moved out. He was from another country. He moved out. So I had the whole room to myself. And the guy next to me was this, like, athlete, swim guy. And we always, like, butted heads. And I wasn't even used, like, knowing what I know about myself now, like, I shouldn't be surprised that I was, like, butting heads with someone. But, like, when I was in high school, I, like, got along with people better. Like, this guy, we would just go back and forth and, like, was, and one night it erupted. We got into this huge fight, and we started messing with like the building's fire safety equipment. I started messing with it basically because it was a whole thing. And basically, we caused a lot of damage in the dorm. And he ratted me out, and I got kicked out of the dorm. And you know, and I went and stayed in the, and I they wanted to kick me out of school, but I kind of got my way out of it, and I denied some stuff, and then they cornered me and whatever. It was a whole thing, but basically I stayed on a friend's couch, and so I got to stay, and I was just more depressed, you know, just more depressed, more feeling bad for myself, and you know, just really at that time I was doing all these like acid, and so I finally realized my friends from high school were like, dude, you gotta lay off all that acid. So you know, in the summer I kind of like stopped, and I thought that was the problem. So then I went back to school again the next year, and I met some other guys, and you know, and then I did there was a fraternity, I joined the fraternity, and I, you know, sort of you know, had a whole new, I guess, met new guys, and you know, it was just more the same. That fraternity, like they could drink, like everyone drank a lot, and there was a ton of drugs there. So, but that feeling I had, that feeling that was, I felt that first year, it really never left me, and like I had no solution for it. I couldn't tell anybody about it. I didn't have any vocabulary to talk to other people about what was really going on. And my brother is a year older than me. He came to visit me once, and I let him party with me. I showed him too much. We were like staying out until like 5 a.m. We were doing coke, and I shouldn't have showed him the cocaine part of the night. And he was like really concerned about me. So like I learned, and you can't show everybody everything you do. It's like, obviously you gotta hide some stuff. And you know, so, but I just kept going, and So then my, you know, my family, my father, my grandfather, both lawyers. So it was like looking at this LSAT to get into law school. And, you know, I took the test. It was a really hard test. Like, I don't know if you guys have taken that, but like, I didn't do well. Okay. So it's like the SATs, like I couldn't even read the whole test in time. It's such a time thing. And my reading comprehension wasn't there. So I was like, all right, definitely it's the weed that's making me dumb. So I stopped smoking weed. And I noticed though, it was the first time I really tried to stop smoking weed. I had a whole summer I was going to study for this test again because I didn't do well enough. And, you know, and I just, my drinking just increased like so much. And I noticed that as something that was not right. And in the middle of studying for the test, one of my friends is, you want to go to LA and visit our other friend? And I just went. I was like, yes, that sounds like a good idea. And my parents were like, what? And I just left right in the middle of the study. I left for a week. I just got wasted every night, drinking, smoking, whatever I wanted. And then I came back and I still didn't do good on the test. You know, obviously, go figure. Got the same exact score as the first time. But it was good enough for like one place. So I actually got into this one school, and you know, I immediately found a couple guys that could drink and smoke weed like I do. And you know, actually I felt at that point that weed was helping me. I was able to focus better, and we'd have study sessions and we'd pass around joints and study, and we'd go to the bar at like 5, and there was people that legit were like failing out and we were doing pretty good. We were getting like B's. So, you know, that's just more like, you know, convinced me of the medicinal qualities of marijuana and all this. I wrote my paper in college was about the health benefits of marijuana. I had really had strong beliefs so I was doing that. Couple years, so in the middle of this law school experience, I was drinking at the bar. It was like a Thursday night. Thursday nights was a big night to go out in law school. And so Thursday nights, usually everyone goes out like 9 o'clock. So me and my study group, two guys, we were like at the bar like 3 o'clock, and we're like playing, you know, we're playing the game, the gambling game there, and we're drinking and just chilling. And my phone rings, and it was one of my friends from college. And you know, another one of our friends was out drinking the night before, crossed the divider, killed himself in a car accident. And I was like stunned by this, you know, I was like, shocked. And I went inside, my friends were like, you know, I looked kind of like, I look pale. And they were like, what's going on? I didn't even talk about it. I was like, oh, it was nothing. Just kept drinking, just drinking. I was drinking harder at that point. Ended up, we stayed out there all night till like 12 o'clock. We were doing cocaine and drinking all night. And I was in Long Island, so I then drove home. I was actually stopped at a traffic light. I like fell asleep at a traffic light. And then I made it home all right, though. And it's just that when I think back on the story, it was a little crazy. But that's what I did, and I didn't really see anything wrong with it. It was just total denial. I honestly, at the time, never even saw anything wrong with what I did. It was only after, when I think back on my story, when I'm sitting here at AA. So basically, what happened was I had this manic sort of episode where I stopped sleeping and I started all this. I had a lot of denial about certain things that were going on in my family, and it was starting to come to the surface, and I couldn't sleep really well. And I had this rage about this whole scenario with my parents that wasn't really that big a deal, but I had it like blown out, and I just felt like, you know, I could talk to you 20 minutes about that whole story, but the bottom line is I really was in a lot of pain. I couldn't sleep, and I just asked for help. And I asked my brother, my older brother, like, I'm going freaking crazy. Like, I feel like I'm going crazy. And he talked to me for a little bit, and he referred me to his therapist, who was also like a drug and addiction counselor, and I started seeing her. I went to her, and I was like actually open and honest with her for the first time, and I started like pouring out all this stuff, basically the stuff I'm telling you tonight. And I just started telling her how my feelings of like shame and Thank you. And just the bad feelings I had about myself. And she slowly, over the next few months, started connecting it to the way that I was drinking and doing drugs. And so she was the one who sort of had me started putting in the idea of coming to AA as some sort of solution for the way that I'm feeling. And so I started coming, went to midnight, my first meeting. At that midnight meeting, there was a guy after the meeting. I kind of liked the speaker. And I was talking to this other guy after, and he told me about this meeting, never had a legal drink. And I remember coming in here and going from midnight to this meeting was like a total shift for me. I was like, I knew nothing about AA. I did not think that I was like, coming to me, am I really an alcoholic? Like, am I really an alcoholic? And what was the other thing I was asking myself? And, the other big question was, it just seemed very extreme to me. To stop drinking completely and all drugs completely sounded very extreme. Like, that's an extreme solution to this problem. Like, there's got to be some in-between place. And, and actually those are two pretty, and I learned. So coming to this particular meeting, coming to Never Had a Legal Drink, it shifted my idea of what an alcoholic is. And it also made it seem like, maybe it's possible. Maybe it's possible that I can do this. I've learned in the first step that, it's a slow process for me, learning about how I drink. It's very personal to me, and how I drink and how I relate to alcohol and drugs. A lot of the reason why I didn't really want to stop completely, why I wanted to sort of negotiate that, is because I really wanted to drink. When it came down to it, in my first 6 months or a year, it was like I felt really uncomfortable. I had a lot of anger. I did not know how to relate to people without drinking and without doing drugs. Like, that was the way I related to people. So it was just like an overwhelming task to try to actually live life completely sober. And a lot of my feelings were, when I just got it all down, it's like, I just really want to get fucked up. Because I liked that place right before I was blacked out. That was my place. That was my, like, totally numb place that I liked. And so that's my first step right there. And I've come, I'm more comfortable, getting a sponsor and doing some step work. And my mom's brother, my uncle, he passed away. He had a long history of drug use, and he ended up overdosing in his apartment alone. He was like a 50-year-old guy. And I was at his funeral. My mom asked me to speak about him because I was close to him before I got sober. He died when I had about 5 years sober. So in my sobriety, we became less close. He was a pharmacist. We used to get really fucked up together and like party. He thought I was the coolest guy ever, but until I got sober, then I wasn't cool anymore. And I was at his funeral. And my mom wanted me to say something. And I just really talked about, who he was as a person. And it just, it just really hit something in me when I sat back down and just understanding and really accepting my alcoholism and me knowing on a deeper level, like inside, that for me, drinking, I can't even worry about anyone else. But for me, I know that drinking, I don't relate. I can't drink. I cannot drink safely. I'm not interested in one drink, and I know that one drink leads to a lot. It's never enough. You can never satisfy that in me. And so the main things that have kept me sober, like these, all these years, the first thing, like they talk about the triangle. So you have, the first thing is the unity, which is also like the fellowship. And the fellowship has really helped me stay sober. Being in the fellowship in this meeting and the Friday, the Young and Wise meeting, and all the fellowship that AA provides is like, you know, it's amazing. The people that I've met here are like, just, you know, I've had really close friends. I call these guys up. I call up my friends and I'm like, you know, my friends are like, talk to me, tell me what's going on. Like, they're just willing to help out. They're willing to be there for me. And, you know, we have amazing friendships. And the next part of the triangle is the service. And the service in AA, thank you. You know, service, I think, is, sweeping up outside and making the coffee and doing all the commitments, and then, you know, is important. But then also above the group level and, you know, doing the general service work, that's really where, you know, I found, like, real inspiration. You know, doing a lot of general service work at NYCPA and at, you know, the general, the whatever, the CNE and all that other stuff you know, I loved it, man. Like, throwing dances and throwing events and throwing fun parties, that boat party. And in 2010, we did the IKIPA. And, you know, it was just, it inspires me. It gives me purpose, and it gives me, like, it does. It says in the book there, fills my life with meaning to, like, have fun in sobriety. There's nothing easier than just to simply have fun in sobriety and show other people that that is possible. Like, that was my type of service that I loved to do. And I did a lot of that. I did plenty. That I was good at. Like, let's just have fun. Like, that's the service work. It sounds so bad when you say it's service, but like, if you just have fun and, like, people want to just join into the fun, it's really that simple. And I learn and I grow from that. And so, you know, that's that part of it. And of course, the recovery, which is, you know, sometimes can be the toughest part there, recovery being the steps. And, you know, maybe I think a lot of my sobriety, I was doing a lot of fellowship and I was doing a lot of service. And it was like the first step I had down and the 12th step I had down. So they call that like two-stepping. And, you know, I think the steps 2 through 11 have to do a lot with how I relate with other people and how I relate to my higher power, ultimately how I relate to my higher power. And so, you know, switch sponsors again, doing the steps again, and really getting into just the 4-step, now, these days, I'm, like, more into, like, I want to grow, and I want to take actions, and I'm definitely a lot more motivated to, like, do the 4-step, do the 5th step, do the 9 steps, just get them over with. I just take the actions and do them. And, you know, a couple of years ago, I did the steps. I did the steps again recently, and, you know, and I'd find more things, like, the amends that I did with my parents, really, honestly, when I had 10 years sober, I did another amends with my parents. And it was like the simplest amends. But it was like, I don't know, it was really powerful. It changed my relationship with my parents. And maybe in a way that it didn't the first time I did the steps. And I felt it. I felt like there was still more there. I wrote this note. It was like, it was really good. And part of what motivated me, I think, to do some work, I was like over 10 years sober. I was like single again. I keep having these relationships that didn't work out. And it was like, there was a similar patterns I saw in a few of these relationships too. And so it was like really hard on myself. And, you know, I think doing the step work and making amends in other, and taking a look at that stuff, and the sex ideal that we do, and really doing some work and writing all these things down on paper. There's a difference between thinking in my head and putting it on paper. And, you know, next thing I know is that, like, the things, you know, be careful what I put on paper, because those things actually appear in my life and actually amazing ideal that I'm afraid to put down on paper. Like, I was afraid to do a sex ideal because, like, these things, and they will actually happen, you know. And it is amazing. I'm really grateful. I'm really grateful for that. I found a great girl. I got married in 6 months ago. And, like, the number one thing on that list, right? The thing that was with these other women were, like, they just were not treating me well. The number one thing on that ideal list was that she treats me well. Let me just finish this. Thank you. Is that she treats me well. She's nice and she treats me well. That was the number one thing. And, you know, God willing, I think she has that. You know, I know she does. And so, you know, I feel grateful. And so, yeah, thanks.